He'd go to a new city. He would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you join us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're also delighted to have our special guest today, former District 1 House of Representative member of the state of Florida, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill, again, thank you for taking time to join us. Before our news break, I had an elongated 3-4-part question. If you'd respond to that for our listeners, then we'll go from there. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, a subject, an issue that I believe is vital. Are we witnessing an American cultural revolution? What is a cultural revolution? How do we identify it? Are we witnessing that in our nation today? Congressman Hill, go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, we should dispense with this idea that because of the moral decay that we're seeing in the United States, that it's the church's fault. And too often it's easy to point at the church, to point at the pastors and say, you aren't preaching against this moral decay that we're seeing, so it's your fault, it's the church's fault. That's not true. It belongs to each individual person within their heart, whether or not they are going to seek and follow after God, or if they're going to do what they think is right in their own eyes. We can see in the Old Testament so many times how the nation Israel would backslide, and each time they were punished for that. And there were times when a good king would arise and lead the nation back towards God, and they would be blessed for it. But it was not frequent enough. It was few and far in between. And we can see that historically, that is placed in the Bible so God can show us what can happen to any nation which turns its back on God. Now, we're seeing, I think, a cultural revolution, as you call it. There are people who are turning their backs on God, but there's a movement now that is turning towards God, and we're seeing it right before our eyes, Dr. Youngblood. We mentioned before the break the revivals that are happening on college campuses. We can see this is the first year in many years that Pride Month is losing a lot of its momentum. Not so many corporations are giving money to Pride, that their silly and obnoxious parades are being canceled in a lot of major cities because they are not getting the financial backing to do it. And then we're also seeing way how people are pushing back against these corporations who are funding a lot of this nonsense, that they're funding Antifa, that they're funding Southern Poverty Law Center, that they're funding all these anti-Christian these Democrat, left-leaning, Marxist, communist movements, that there are people pushing back against corporations who are funding that. So I think we are seeing a movement, and I don't think it's coincidental, Dr. Youngblood, that it is happening at the same time that the MAGA movement has been surging, along with President Trump's second reelection. Now, what we have to do is continue this. We have to continue it not only through the remainder of President Trump's tenure as president, but beyond that. Whoever that president is going to be, let's hope that they continue going down this same conservative path of bringing America first back to sanity. Stop the outrageous spending that we're seeing, the outrageous stealing from taxpayers, to bring common sense back to voting again. And that's why the SAVE Act is so important. States can pass their own SAVE Act, and some states are doing that. But when it comes to a federal election, we have to make sure that if you vote for a president or a congressman or someone at the federal level, that the SAVE Act is going to be in place so that the Democrats will not be able to cheat.
Absolutely, and you touched on this Pride Month. There's some cities that have, and even I've forgotten which state, has called it Family Month rather than Pride Month. It is the nuclear family month. But I'm delighted that I'm looking at an article that says, an L.A. Dodger pitcher, that's the Dodgers, a pitcher refused to comply with the Pride Night, enraging his progressive fans. It gives the name of the pitcher, Los Angeles Dodger, who will not bow to the gay Pride Friday night, marking another instance of what has become a consistent occurrence for organizations in the last few years. The Dodgers' 2026 Pride Night, Los Angeles Dodger Stadium, was not without controversy, but the most contentious moment was saved for the end of the game, when the pitcher came out, when that player entered the stadium, he did not have on a Pride cap that the others had worn. He had simply the Dodgers cap, and the progressives in the audience went total bonkers. Let me just read a bit of that and get your take on it. As he jogged to the mound, it was obvious that all he was wearing was a standard Dodger cap, devoid of any special themes. Viewers were apparently triggered over the idea that the 37-year-old would not simply comply with Pride recognition. Imagine hating gay people so much that you refuse to wear a hat with a rainbow on it, one viewer wrote. Popular baseball account, I guess the person's name, said fans should be horrified that this pitcher wouldn't put on a rainbow hat. And I could go on and on and on with the dialogue back and forth on social media as a result of a pitcher with the L.A. Dodgers. By the way, he makes about $11 million a year. And he refused to put on a gay pride hat. I commend him for that. This is the point that I make, and I believe that we need to encourage others to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and not just go along with the program.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, we need more and more of that. And here's the thing. He wears, you know, his regular baseball hat, and the comments are that he hates gay people, that he hates the LGBTQ movement. That's not it at all. The thing is that he is not going to participate in it. Mm-hmm. He is not going to go against something that is unnatural, that is perverted. It is nothing more than hedonistic perversion. That's all it is. These are people shaking their fist at God, saying, we're going to do what we want. We're going to live how we want. And here's someone that says, I'm not going to participate in that. It doesn't mean that they hate these people. It is said, I'm not going to be a part of it. By the way, Dr. Youngblood, I'm not sure if you agree with me on this statement or not, but you hear it so many times that God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. I don't think God loves the sinners. I think he hates those who sin. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He hates those who sin. And we should not go along with those who sin and say, oh, just love them, but it's the sin that we hate. No, that person is committing that sin, and we are not going to participate in it.
Absolutely. When you look at a text found in, I believe it is it Proverbs 6, verses 13 and following, when it talks about seven things that God hates, and the one of them is he that soweth sand, discord among the brethren, verse 7 and following, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be heal to thy marrow, and navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord thy God with substance, with the first fruits, etc. So shall it bear in the barns. That's not the one that I was looking for, but it is very, very clear that God, you're exactly right, God hates. Here it is. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God's word is very, very clear. Six things, yea, even seven, are the abomination unto the Lord. These six things doth God hate, H-A-T-E. And by the way, when you look at that, it is God's recognition of the sin, and God's not embracing the sin. And yet we have the politicians like, what's his name, Tellerico. I'm looking at a headline, James Tellerico, the Democrat nominee for 2026 U.S. Senate in Texas, will face Attorney General Ken Paxton in November. Tellerico stated during a legislative hearing on anti-trans sports bill that modern science obviously recognizes that there are, in fact, really six biological sexes. He says most Christians would acknowledge that God is beyond gender. In fact, Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, said in Christ there's no male or female. He misquotes Galatians, the third chapter, in verse 28, where God says there's no bond, no free, no male, no female. He's talking about in Christ we're all equal. He wasn't saying there's not genders in the world today, but this fruitcake that's running. Now, here's my question. I could go on and on with the things that he's saying. He says Jesus never said anything against homosexuality, that the Word of God says nothing against abortion, when yet the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, etc., etc. How are Christians, conservative Christians today, how are they to respond, either in Texas, or if we had somebody running like that in the state of Florida, or as we find across the nation, that is the loose likes, lost liberals that's running? They're embraced by the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat Party. How are we to respond? What's your advice to those listeners today that perhaps will be faced with going to the polls, casting a ballot, and you got a choice between this person, and oh, this person is one that's done this, 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 which is immoral, unholy, ungodly. What's your advice? What's your opinion and statement?
We have to reject that person, Dr. Youngblood. You cannot be a Christian and vote for someone who believes that and behaves like that. It's amazing how the Democrats can only bring forward these people who have clearly moral failings. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to be perfect to run for office, but when you see someone like this Tellerico in Texas, or this guy Plattner in Maine, and that's who the Democrats bring forward, and that's who they are funding big time, millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars for them to win their race, simply because they want them in Congress so that they can have power and then push back against the Trump administration. It's unbelievable. As Christians, we cannot vote for them. We cannot accept how they are going against God's word intentionally. He is intentionally trying to distort the God's word and make it seem like that he's a Christian too. He is not. He is not a Christian, and all someone has to do is have a modicum of reading from the Bible to understand that this guy is completely off base. I'm talking about Tellerico. Also, this guy up in Maine, Plattner. There's something wrong with these people, and they should not even be running for office, much less get elected to office. As Christians, we must reject them. We must not vote for them. If it means that they're the only ones on the ballot, then just don't vote. Leave that blank. But you cannot check that box, yes, for someone like that.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, when I reflect back in history, I didn't live in that particular era, but it hadn't been too many years ago that across America, a number of the states and the state constitutions said that that candidate must be a Christian. That's been deleted and deleted, removed, and watered down over the years. But at least within the past several years, within my adult lifehood, I recall times and dates when candidates would run and they would be basically vetted. They would be, they would have some relationship to a church. They would at least have some modicum of claim to know Christ as Savior. They would have some track record of morals and ethics and values. Now, that's all been cast to the wind. In your opinion, why is it that we have, like Plattner, that's had all kinds of moral failings, got a huge Nazi tattoo on his chest, and claims he didn't know what it was at the time? And I watched some interviewers on the streets in Maine talking with women, young women, older women, men, all races, asking the question, will you vote for Plattner? And over and over and over again, they said yes. My dilemma is, Congressman Hill, what has possessed our general public that they would embrace that kind of candidate and seem to think that it's okay?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, again, we cannot blame the church for that.
That's right.
We cannot blame our school system for that, because as each individual person is going to stand before the Almighty God, and they will be judged either to be cast aside as goats or to be brought into heaven and to see what reward they are going to receive. But all are going to be judged. And you will not be able to stand before God and say, well, the church I went to didn't teach me right. Mm. Or when I went to school, they took the Bible out. And so no, it is each individual person. And you know in your heart, you know in your heart the difference between right and wrong. Romans tells us that. The book of Romans tells us that. Each person is without excuse. You know the difference between right and wrong. And when you know what is right and you don't do it, then the Bible calls that a sin. If you know what is wrong and you do it, that is an affront to God. And you're going to stand on your own merits when you, on your own basis, when you stand before the Almighty God. So before you were talking, Dr. Youngblood, that what are we to do with this school system that we currently have? I think the answer to it is get your children out of these government schools.
Amen.
Parents,
amen.
If there's any way at all, you homeschool, you private school, you use internet schools. There are some great schools out there now that are on the internet, from Hillsdale College, from the Freedom Project, and others, where you can get an excellent education at home. And these homeschools, they will form groups where you can get together. And if there is a specialty such as math or science that needs to be taught, then they will make sure that gets done. But get your children out of these government schools. They have been a complete failure since the 1960s when they removed prayer and the Bible from the schools.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article that I believe gives us an insight on where we stand with this cultural revolution. In fact, I was prone to call it the cultural Marxism, because what we're seeing in what I'm calling the cultural revolution is, in fact, the coming on board and to fruition full Marxism in America. But we're finding that there's a major, major problem, and I find it out of the left. I'm looking at the headline, says, damning poll results. What Democrats actually think about America ahead of the 250th birthday. article reads in part, Democrats are not only woefully lacking in pride for their country, but most would likely be want to live elsewhere. Further in the article, it says, in the National Elon University poll conducted between April the 30th and May the 4th, listen to this. Excuse me. 55% of Democrat respondents said there is another country on earth that they would rather live in than the United States of America. I find that sad. What say you?
That is sad, Dr. Youngblood. It's almost an unbelievable statement, but I would say this. This is a free nation. You go right ahead. If you want to go live in another country, go ahead. What's stopping you? You know, Dr. Youngblood, I was raised in a military family and spent almost 5 years of my young teenage years in Europe. We were in Aviano, Italy, and we would go to see other nations that were close by, Germany, France, Switzerland, Spain. And I can tell you, and I've been on mission trips, and I've been to India, Indonesia, I've been to South Korea, I've been to Taiwan. I can tell you, Dr. Youngblood, there is no place like the United States of America in terms of what we have here, in terms of God's blessings.
Amen.
That are on this nation. You go right ahead, move somewhere else, see how you get treated, see how you will not have the blessings that are on this nation. And Dr. Youngblood, if we want those blessings to continue, we as Christians must rise up. We must push back against this Marxist revolution that we're seeing coming across our culture right now. The reason why the communists and the Marxists are so much against God is because when you read the Communist Manifesto, there can be nothing greater than the state itself. Instead of government, you can't have a God. Because if you have a God, then you're accountable to that. They say that the state is the final authority. And that's why they are against God. That's why they have to move God out of the way, because they say that they are, the state is the final authority. And of course, they're wrong. Of course, they're delusional. And they will ultimately find out that God is the one who runs the earth and the universe. It is His. He controls it.
Absolutely. And this is kind of a footnote to what you just said. Family Research Council, in their newsletter of yesterday, said with the 2026 midterm elections just months away, with a razor-thin congressional majority, the stakes could not be higher. Only a handful of seats will determine which party holds the majority in Congress. These majorities will decide whether we get pro-life judges who will protect children from gender ideology, defund big abortion, defend religious freedom, and push back against the woke ideology. Here's the point. This Family Research Council newsletter, for more than 30 years, FRC Action has stood in our nation's capital, mobilizing believers across the country to vote in crucial elections. We've learned over and over that important policy debates in Washington comes down to whether we have the votes in Congress. Unfortunately, critical pro-life, pro-family measures have stalled due to lack of votes. Sometimes, because of just one or two missing pro-life members, the unprecedented mid-decade redistricting. This is a moment when Christian engagement can reshape the political landscape in America. And it goes with a closing statement. A 2024 George Barner study revealed a troubling reality of politically unengaged Christians, almost one in four, 24%, said they do not know enough about the candidates to make a choice in an election. Now, with that being said, Congressman Hill, we both agree that we stand before God with no excuse. But yet it seems like Christians refuse to vet the candidate, refuse to take a stand on moral, ethical issues, and make the decision to vote on a candidate. Plattner, for example, in Maine, is without any equivocation for a moral, ethical person to simply say no, he's being embraced. The character in Texas for any so-called Christian, whether it's moderate, progressive, or conservative, should recognize that that's an anathema to anything that's called biblical truth. And so I believe it's time that Christians stand up as salt and light and vet the candidate and vote. And some will be thinking even now, well, you know, the election is 5 months away or 6 months away. It will be here before we know it. It's coming like a speeding bullet. And I believe it's time Christians recognize that if we're going to save America, if we're going to preserve the integrity of morals, ethics, and values, if we're going to preserve our foundation, we need to be salt and light. And as Christians, we need to vote. So, Congressman Hill, we've got about a minute before our time is up today. Would you take the balance of the time, make your charge for what we call to action? What should our listeners do based on what they've heard us talk about today?
Dr. Youngblood, we saw in the last election with President Trump that Christians did go out and vote. Mm-hmm. In fact, Trump called it was too big to rig. Even though the Democrats still try to cheat, and they will try to cheat again, if enough Christians will go out and vote, we can win. Do not use the excuse that I don't know enough about the candidates. You have 5 months now to learn before it is time for election. But you must go out and vote at every level, whether it's county, city, school board, state level, at the federal level, you must go out and vote. The Christian voice has to be heard. When it is heard, then we can rejoice as a nation because we are following after God. But if not, then we are going to see the continued moral decay of our nation.
Absolutely. And I'll close with this, Congressman Hill. In Proverbs 14th chapter, 34th verse, righteousness, that's rightness before God, exalteth, that means to lift up, to glorify, to honor the nation. But sin is a reproach. That's a dishonor, a shame, a insult to any people. And so it's my prayer today, Congressman Hill, and to our listeners, that what we do as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America will not be a reproach to any people, but will be exalting the nation through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolled.